SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game time decisions live on a Monday. People in the streets trying to tell you it is a calm slate. They are correct. There's not much going on, but there's still plenty to discuss here on Sports Grid. I'm Kevin Walsh with you. We are going to get into what remains of the Major League Baseball board, but also talk about some moving markets as well as a new statistical leader, which is very, very important. We will also put our eyes on Team USA basketball. On Wednesday, they will play their first game scrimmage-wise. I am expecting lines to be posted. Will this be, whichever the starting lineup is, the one that we then anticipate when we actually get to Paris? All of that has to play out. We will continue to fly through this. We might as well take a little bit of time, put our eye on things going on at Wimbledon, as well as Euro 2024 and Copa America, which we'll pick back up tomorrow. But let's start this off, as we should, with a quick pick. White Sox, Twins. Now, this selling point could be difficult when you see the starters of Paddock and Flexen. But getting the 9 at minus 102 is a comfortable enough spot because I don't feel that these lineups are in a good enough position to take advantage of these pitchers. If you look so far this year, Paddock dominated by lefties. Same of Chris Flexen. These are not bad lineups that strongly rely on left-handed pop. You think about Correa, Miranda, who just won Player of the Week, I think it was. The White Sox lineup, I mean, come on. But it's largely righties. Anybody who's going to give you some issues, Paul DeJong, Louis Robert. So this is an underspot here to start off the Major League Baseball board at a 9 at minus 102. Now, I mentioned a new statistical leader, and that is across the entire league, the ERA lead now belongs to Ronaldo Lopez. But look at this gap. A 1.71 for Lopez. The next closest is a 2.21 in Seth Lugo. The next closest National League pitcher is Ranger Suarez at a 2.58. This is not because Ronaldo Lopez yesterday against the Phillies threw 25 shutout innings. It's because he, for the first time this season, qualified for leaderboards. His innings count was underneath. Ronaldo Lopez is making a transition this season from a relief pitcher, which is why I think at times we saw a lesser workload for Lopez on a game-to-game basis. Well, that transition is something that his counterpart, Chris Sale, has talked about. I want to take a chance for everybody to hear what Chris Sale has to say about Ronaldo Lopez.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a unique story to each individual guy, right? We've had our problems to get back up to this spot. Lopi, really being a reliever over the last couple of years, and like, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, he's the best pitcher in the league right now. I mean, you look at what he's done from start to finish, he's the guy. And that's not easy to do in, your first year back. You know, he's new team, becoming a starter after pitching out of the bullpen for a couple of years. It's impressive. So, this is exciting for us, but we're really excited for him because there's nothing like the first one.
That video there coming from Bally Sports South. And Chris Sale, who is also an all-star and is also top 10 in your baseball-wide ERA leaderboard, is an all-star alongside Lopez. Both are inside the top 10 for NL Cy Young. We were supposed to get Chris Sale tonight. Instead, Bryce Elder will make the start. Changing numbers here. I was excited for the Sale start. He was going to be my MLB play of the day over the 18 and a half outs. He has not missed that mark in consecutive games. The fact that he's getting this rest, that number today was plus 135. I'll look for that to be on my card tomorrow. With Bryce Elder checking in, I'm pulling back a little bit here. Slightly tempted on and over 9. in this game, but have not pulled trigger just yet. Let's get over, though, to that NL Cy Young market where I mentioned both Lopez and Sale can be found at the top 10. But there is a big gap, and one that I have continuously talked about not believing in. Chris Sale is second, Zach Wheeler is first. And Wheeler's status as first is maybe the bigger issue than Sale, but it is hard to justify Zach Wheeler at plus 135. If you look right now, even if you start to narrow this out at the five pitchers that are underneath the 20-1 marker, Ranger Suarez is here because for a lot of this season, he had clearly earned best pitcher in the National League status. That's what he was, but he's started to come back a little bit. Tyler Glasnow, super pedigree, but it's been an up and down month plus now for Tyler Glasnow. Logan Webb here made the All-Star team, but that's more name than production from Logan Webb. Again, not that it's a bad year, but has he been better than a Ronaldo Lopez, who's at 20-1? That's a dropping number, by the way, from 25-1. That Lopez price dropping is not surprising. Now when people go and check, and this does matter, oh, who's leading baseball in ERA? Ronaldo Lopez's name actually pops up. And again, he is with a current monster lead. Now, it's more vulnerable. You could certainly make the argument for Lopez due to his low inning count. If he does get, you know, bashed in his next outing, it's going to raise it. But again, look at the National League gap. He's the only guy inside the top five. There's no other National League pitcher who's under 2.5. This kid's under a 1.75. So Lopez's number is, I think, something for us to keep our eye on. There's another guy, though, that we have to keep an eye on. If you look here, 50-1, Aaron Nola, Chris Sanchez. There's one other pitcher at 50-1. That is now All-Star Paul Skenes. It has continuously moved, as have my thoughts on his chance to win this award. A 200-1 ticket was placed on this show. We were on air together, and the thought was very simple. The number was wrong. We saw at other books it was much lower. That has already been proven true. We're now at 50-1. The hope was to get a cash out. Admittedly, I haven't seen that yet. I don't know if I need to reach out to somebody, but I'm not sure I want it anymore. Paul Skenes at 50-1 continues to move. See that ERA, the 2.12. That would be the second best of National League pitchers. He doesn't qualify yet. He's at 59 and a third inning pitched. He eventually will. If you look at how they are using him in Pittsburgh, it is not kid gloves. 100 pitches, more often than not, in his last five outings. Paul Skenes is going to continue to march in this market. And as long as he can stay injury-free, he is a real threat to win it. Let's get your American League leaderboard up, because I did make a little bit of a play, but it's nowhere near this top 10. Tarik Skubal, though, with a huge move coming off of a career day. He's plus 110, a 13 strikeout performance for Tarik Skubal going up against the Cincinnati Reds. Move this market. And Skubal, for me, is a stronger candidate when I line him up against, say, Zach Wheeler's status, ultimately, in the National League. But for Skubal, he has a lot more competition. Seth Lugo has been fantastic. Corbin Burns has been great and comes with name recognition. If Garrett Crochet is traded to a contender, that could get dangerous as well. There's one guy, though, at 200-1 I took a chance on. He's a closer. But Emmanuel Clase of the Cleveland Guardians, who is currently at 27 saves, leads the American League, more importantly, has allowed 4 earned runs. Look at that ERA. It's a .85. I get it's 42 innings pitched. .85, 4 earned runs. I want a difference maker. Class A could be that at 200-1. It's worth a sprinkle. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here, Game Time Decisions. We're going to get to your Major League Baseball best bet. But again, Emmanuel Clase at 201. I just think if you line him up against the guys that he's in range of, I'd rather take a chance on a guy whose case is completely different than a guy who's just not all that good and is not really going to make a run at this award. It's going to be tough for a relief pitcher. I get it. And I, similar to when I placed the Skeens bet, I'm not exactly expecting to be placing or cashing this ticket, but I think we could put ourselves in a position for a potential cash out profit. I really do. Not as much confidence as Skeens, but I thought it was worthy of a play. I thought the same of Will Benson today. The Cincinnati Reds at home line up Ryan Feltner and the Colorado Rockies, and I do think that over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI on Benson at plus 125 is a strong play here. Batting ninth. That's kind of the caveat. A little bit rare for me to go that deep down the order when I'm looking for the hits, runs, RBIs. But Feltner's struggles are against lefties. It's how Benson cracks the lineup today. He's certainly been better against righties. He's not been outstanding, but he's been better. But what's really important is batting ninth. We then flip to the top. India, Ellie, Candelario. Now all of a sudden we can get him driven in. A base knock today for Benson I think could really be the key here. All we need. And getting plus 125, I think there's enough juice today for Will Benson over the 1.5 hits, runs, and RBI. Now, it's a slower day. We'll kind of get to the rest of the Major League Baseball board here. Joe Madden's going to join us. We're going to talk through it all. But we are also approaching Team USA basketball. Team USA favored to win the entire thing, and rightfully so. A minus 390 price on the Americans, 9-1 Canada, 10-1 France, Serbia's 13, and then Greece's 19-1. And you start to see the drop-offs there. And some of this you can kind of tie to superstar players, Wemby, Giannis, Jokic, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. It's that Team USA is running out a roster that, if you're honest with yourself, is the best we've ever seen. Loaded with current talent, future Hall of Famers, who are still top 15 guys in the sport. The question for Team USA is, are they worthy of a minus 390 investment? When we line up their games, can they cover 15, 20, 40-point spreads? And there will also be questions around player props. But there were some questions I heard posed today by our very own Coach James Young. And we're going to talk to Coach in a little bit here on the show. Worried about maybe the age. Worried a little bit about the defense. Worried a little bit about the shooting. The age concern is fair. Kevin Durant yesterday pops up on the injury report. Joel Embiid and Kawhi Leonard, they have to be cautious about. So health being a concern is never what you want. It's why, to a degree, it is stunning to see this group here. It's a risk they are all taking, but it gives you an idea of the motivation. But only Steph Curry from that class really has a huge reason to be here because Steph's never won the gold medal, right? But LeBron, Durant especially, even Anthony Davis, they've done this before. Tatum and Edwards being here 100%, they're looking to usher in that new era, at least until Cooper Flagg shows up, if you've seen the headlines off of today's scrimmage. But those guys showing up, Kawhi, LeBron, KD, it shows what how much this means to these guys. Rebounding, not a concern for me. This team very easily could throw out 6'9 or taller, 1 through 5, and it not be clunky at all. So I don't worry about that at all. But shooting, it was one that really stuck with me. And here's just the simple disagreement point. The shot quality for these guys will be something that is going to be completely abnormal due to their regular seasons. A lot of catch and shoot opportunities. And if you look at this roster, from a catch-and-shoot three-point perspective, the best in the NBA last year of guys who played at least 30 minutes. Number one, Joel Embiid. Number two, LeBron James. Number three, the whole NBA, Drew Holiday. Steph was sixth, Durant was 10th, and there are only two guys on the entire 12-man roster who did not shoot catch-and-shoot threes above 40%. Devin Booker and Anthony Davis. So this team will be fine shooting the basketball. But who is going to be their lead option? If you ask Anthony Edwards, that answer's easy.
I'm still number one us. I mean, y'all might look at it differently. I don't even have this.
And how does that manifest? How do you go about it?
Just go out there and be myself. Shoot my shots, play defense. And, you know, they got to get in and play around me. That's how I feel.
Classic Anthony Edwards video from Ben Golliver saying that they need to fit in around him. I think it's what makes Ant. And look, the market's respecting Edwards a lot. Joel Embiid, who is going to clearly lead the league in scoring, if not for injury, is positioned as the favorite. And then the greatest Olympic basketball scorer of all time, Kevin Durant, slots in between. The difficult thing about this market right now is how much debate we have on the starting lineup. LeBron is going to start, end of discussion. I think Steph Curry is a similar lock. Durant, I thought, was. Then the injury popped up. Maybe it'll be fine. I'm not so sure. What would my starting five be? Steph, Kawhi, LeBron, Durant, AD. I don't think that's probably going to be the starting five. Many believe Anthony Edwards needs to be out there for defense. That doesn't necessarily, though, lead to him then being the lead option for this basketball team. Is Joel going to start? And even if he does, is the ball going to be funneled to Embiid in the way that it is when he's in a Philadelphia 76er uniform? I don't know about that. If I make a bet today, I'm not, but if I was, it's actually going to be on Steph Curry at plus 600 because his workload will be the simplest. He is going to get open look after open look after open look. He may only shoot threes. It's all he'll need to shoot. I mean, him 18 a night on 6 of 10 shooting from 3 being the norm wouldn't surprise me one bit. You also know there's going to be a game where he probably hits 10 threes, right? So for me, at the moment, I look towards Steph Curry at plus 600, but a lot more questions have to be answered. Again, the first game is on Wednesday. Cannot wait to watch that one play out. It's a quick break here on Game Time Decisions, the latest around the Euros and Copa America. Now.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here. We're live on a Monday night. Kevin Walsh with you. Game Time Decisions on Sports Grid. Major League Baseball Board has one live right now. It's 6-0 for St. Louis over the Nationals. But first base runner did reach here. So you never know. Maybe the comeback kids could be live with the Nash team that was favored. We saw the Pirates take down the Mets 8-2 earlier on today as well. Mitch Keller with 8 strong innings. Mitch Keller, I don't believe made the All-Star team. I saw the Pirates video. It was just Skeens and Reynolds. But Keller's been or has had himself a really, really strong season. The rest of the baseball board, and again, I didn't love the slate today. It's just what happens sometimes when you're dealing with a softer slate like we are today. Guardians minus 145 range over the Tigers. They're going to throw Gavin Williams, total 8.5 in that game. You've got the Angels hosting John Gray and the Texas Rangers as a plus 130 home dog, give or take. 8.5 is your listed total. And then we mentioned the big shift. And, man, this line has continued to drop here. The Atlanta Braves and the Arizona Diamondbacks. I mean, this thing's just been on the move. This was minus 160, give or take, when Sale was supposed to be on the mound. Bryce Elder steps in minus 118 on the Braves. I may still look to play Atlanta if I play the game. What I have played so far, just to reset for the people, Will Benson, over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI. That's the best bet. That's the MLB play of the day. And then a quick pick here. We're taking a chance on under White Sox Twins at the 9. I think there could be, let me double check if any 9.5s have popped up in the market, because some of the juice was suggesting we might get to that range. It doesn't look like it, but again, that's at minus 102. That under 9, Paddock Flexen is the start. Tomorrow, we pick back up in the soccer world with both Copa America and the Euros. Now, Euro 2024, Spain, France, we will see this game play out before I'm back here tomorrow. As far as who's going to win, I'm already invested in that angle. plus 600 France, which was a bet placed before this knockout stage began. The thought for me was trusting France would get to this moment. Now, the danger was knowing they were going to play Spain or Germany. There was just no pathway, I thought, for that not to be the case. And because even if one of those two were upset in the opening round, I didn't see both being upset. And then whomever advanced would have took advantage. But they both advanced, which then locked that in. I wondered what the line would look like, though, when we did see Spain-France. To advance, which is what's most important here, minus 118 on Spain, minus 104 on France. Pre-tournament, France was the second choice on the board, with England only in front. Now, maybe that was more to do with the groups. Spain in that group with Croatia and Italy was expected to potentially have a tough time getting out of it. They did, though, and they did with flying colors. They have looked the best team all in all. But France are expected to be the best team. The thing is, if you're holding a plus 600, you very much could grab Spain plus 180 to win the whole thing and take your chance against England or Netherlands in the final. You even at that point probably could still find some profit because Spain will be favored in that final game if you're really just trying to inch out profit. But I intend to let France go here and trust them in this spot. The one other thing to keep eyes on is the golden boot. So Cody Gapko got himself another and is currently sitting on 3 goals right now, Gapko. That number has Bellingham and Kane right behind him. I think what we saw of England, and it was super disappointing. It worked out because I had them with the 1.5 parlay. The Phil Foden wagers did not. But they really did the same thing again, which was, I mean, there was a little more attacking prowess, but it was kind of meh, meh, meh. Oh, no, we need a goal. What are we going to do? And then they got a goal. And that's great. But that now is, I think, telling this group that is an okay way to exist. And it's why it's very hard for me to think that England is going to cross the finish line here at Euro 2024. Copa America right now, Argentina is a minus 135 favorite. They are supposed to easily get through Canada, but Uruguay or Colombia, a tough test could await. Coach James Young up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with you right here on SportsGrid. Kevin Walsh joined by Coach James Young. We have NBA Summer League tonight. I want to just go quick hand up. I saw California was off tonight. And I didn't realize Utah was starting. That's on me. But I am eyeing up a couple of things. The Zach Edey debut. We're going to get some thoughts from Coach on what he'd love to see tonight. I do want a couple of thoughts on what he thought about Bronny and Connect. But before we get to that, I want to just talk a little Team USA with Coach. Coach this morning on the early line was giving a breakdown around this team. And look, Coach certainly thinks they're the favorite, should be the favorite. But you offered up some concerns, JY, that I don't at the moment share. Certainly, we could always see some things that pop up here. I want to let you kind of explain to the people the things about this current Team USA roster that you're concerned about.
Three things. Number one, folks, you got to remember this. When you get to the medal round, you just need, I think it's 40 minutes. I don't think they play 48. You need a bad 40 minutes of basketball to get knocked out. So this is not the redeemed team. I know they're talented. This is not the dream team who had 35 points better than anyone that can roll out of bed, play a poker all night, and win by 50. The world is caught up. So as a coach, where do I have concerns? Number one, I'm concerned about their rebounding. Yes, they have AD. Yes, they have Embiid. Yes, they have Bam. Yes, they have LeBron. Yes, they have, but we're not an overly big team Like when you kind of look at our team, Team USA, you know, Joel is to be the – I mean, you could say at times Anthony is the only one to be a five. All right, Anthony Davis is a four. Bam is an undersized five. And I'm looking at – for me, I want to look at the team that's going to give us a problem. And I'm looking at France. And maybe I'm overvaluing that 35-point win they had over Germany that won the FIBA World Cup last year. But damn, Wemby Gobert 7-4-7-1 is a damn problem. Rebounding the ball and defending the high-low. I wonder if we needed a more beefier, another center, but we don't really have one in the States behind Embiid. That's why getting Embiid was so critical. So that's my concern there. Two, shooting. If you look at this team, LeBron, listen, can these guys all knock down shots? Yes. LeBron, more of a pull-up game, drive to that bucket. KD, pull-up game. Booker, pull-up game. Holiday, was shooting enough. Halliburton, maybe, but is he going to defer? Kawhi can knock him down. Does he shoot him enough? Like, to me, when I look at that team, I'm like, they got Curry. That there's your three-point marksman. Ant can knock him down, yes, too. But to me, I'm so concerned with their such a hot and cold shooting team from three. That's a concern. Lastly, will a team try to get us out of transition and try and run us out the gym? I mean, try to. Meaning if they secure the rebound, get that fast break, run and gun. Do we have, with our older age, we probably want to play, honestly, more half-court basketball. What happens if a team tries to run us and use their speed and their youth to their disadvantage, or to our disadvantage? Simply put, it's still going to take a lot for a team to do something right to beat us. I'm just saying, as a coach, I just have concerns.
So I'll offer counters to two of the three. The age, where I agree with the age, is not as much about running. We're the most athletic team in the tournament by a million. I worry just more about holding up. Like, the idea that we get to the semifinal and there's only eight guys available, that's not crazy. So from that end of it, I think it's fair. From the shooting advantage of it all, coach, there's going to be a million catch-and-shoot opportunities. And that's why today I took some time to look. The only guys that don't shoot catch-and-shoot threes above 40% on this roster are Devin Booker at 37.3% and Anthony Davis, who's under 30. AD is not a shooter. He needs to give up on the dream. So I don't worry about the shooting, coach, because don't you think we're going to see a lot of the three-point opportunities? Think about, you know, the regular season, these guys have to generate so much for themselves. They all command so much attention. I think the quality of looks here, JY, these guys are going to be getting a lot of open ones.
They should get a lot of open ones. I just get worried that there isn't just a straight-up dagger, sit here on the wing, and just bang threes all day. Listen, will they have the opportunity to make threes? Yes. But we've also seen the NBA, or in so many words, you got to defend the three, you got to shoot the three. And I don't think, when I look at these guys that are catch-and-shoot guys, yeah, they can shoot, catch-and-shoot. But can they knock them down in this moment? Kevin, all we need is one game that we shoot 25% from three, the other team shoots 45%, and we could be going home. That's a concern. But listen, at the end of the day, we should win. And I want people to understand this. This is not a coach saying, oh my God, we're going to lose. Oh my God, he doesn't have faith. I have faith in these guys. I'm just saying, as a coach, I always have to look at, like, you got to look at worst case scenario, right? My worst case scenario is, what if we don't rebound? What if we don't knock down threes? Or what if we get run out of gym? Partially because of age, or if we get banged up.
As far as and I think what you're probably then saying is, you wouldn't lay minus 390.
No.
Right? You don't think they're minus 390 better than the rest. The last thing on the rebounding, since it seems very specific to France, I'll just throw Embiid and AD out there, and I think I'll win that matchup. Look, let me just say this. You, to not just coach, to anyone, if you think you're higher on Wemby than me, you're not. You're not. I promise. You're not. Do you think you're going to take Wemby and Gobert over Anthony Davis and Joel Embiid? No. So I think we're fine. I'm not worried about it. I mean, you think we got Evan Fournier knocks down 8 threes. I guess we'll be a little bit more concerned, but I'm not as worried about it. JY, as much as I'd love to get into the Cooper Flagg stuff that we saw today, let's talk about rookies this year.
Wait, whoa. Like,
yeah.
Whoa. Like, I may be a Duke fan this year. I mean, this guy.
That's crazy.
I mean, it's tough. Listen, this guy. Go ahead.
Before today, wanted to see what his price to win the Wooden Award is, and it looks like he's going to be top five, but he's not the favorite. I wonder if that holds true by the time we get to the start of next year, Coach.
That boy, a problem. I mean, he's doing stuff against Kevin, grown men, the best in the world, and he, every bit of it, stood up. This wasn't 92 when Jordan sat out and Bobby Hurley was running circles around 48-year-old Magic Johnson. This is Cooper Flagg against our top players in the country. And he looked like every bit of I belong here. This guy is the goods. Everybody in 2025, Brooklyn, or Charlotte, start tanking. Tank now. Tank for Cooper. Tank for Flag. Tank for Maine. Tank for Lobster. Whatever you're taking for. Tank to get this guy because he is the goods.
Capture the Flag is the best one that I saw. Also, shout out the U17 team who let me not. It's whatever. JY, quickly, what are you expecting from any of the rookies tonight? Jared McCain, Zach Edey. We don't have Isaiah Collier props. Anything you're looking for?
Zach Edey gets busy. I want to see him in the game where they actually call fouls when he gets hit. And then those Memphis guys, I want to see those young Memphis cats because they can definitely play.
GG Jackson is, I think, minus 300 to score 20. Which is a
wild
number. JY, we appreciate it. We've got Joe Madden on deck here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on Sports Grid, Game Time Decisions. The Major League Baseball Board just getting underway with another game between Detroit and Cleveland. To help us talk some Major League Baseball, that's Joe Madden. Joe, how are you Monday?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm glad I wasn't on earlier because you know I would have found a way to bet the Washington Nationals today, and they coughed up a big fat 0 runs on the board. So I'm glad
sure
I was off that game.
They sure did. Did you play anything, Joe, in Detroit, Cleveland, though?
Yeah, I did. I looked at the Detroit Tigers in the first 5 innings, looking at the pitching matchup here. Which pitcher I had the most faith in, it was Montero coming out. He's had a couple more starts here than Gavin Williams, and I'm just not sure how Gavin Williams will come out in this one. He's been lit up before. So value on the home dog in the first five at plus 112, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't mind that at all. I thought that was an odd game. I backed off of it, but a little first five there for Detroit. I know in the back there are some Stephen Kwan props that are rolling on, who has obviously been having himself a fantastic season. Joe, what about this game between Cincinnati and Colorado? Minus 160 range here on the home Reds.
We look at the Colorado Rockies, and the last time Ryan Feltner faced the Reds, he got absolutely lit up. But I'm looking for more out of him in this game today. I do think he has a little bit of an edge here on the road over Andrew Abbott. And I know Andrew Abbott has a better ERA. He's at home in this one, but there's something in my gut that's not trusting him in this matchup today. I can see that upset coming. Not brave enough to take the Colorado Rockies straight up, but I'm going to look at a different couple of ways to play them because I do feel that we could have the possible upset. I'm going to look at their team total over 4.5. It's coming in at plus 114. We're getting that great plus money. I think they're able to get 5 runs on the board. We look at the Reds defense, and this defense has been struggling as of late. And then I'm going to look at Ryan Feltner here, and I do think he can get into this game deep enough to go over his outs today. His outs coming in at 15.5 at -120 to the over in this one, Kevin.
All right, so we're looking for some Feltner juice there. I'm on Will Benson in this game over the 1.5 hits, runs, RBI at +125. Batting in the 9 hole in this matchup. Joe, we'll push this forward here. Minnesota and Chicago. Paddock's got the ball going up against Chris Flexen on the road. What do you like in this game?
Yeah, this is an interesting one between these two pitchers. I think both of these pitchers have strikeout props that are too low going into this game, except the problem here is, Kevin, you're going to have to lay the juice with both of them. So instead of laying the juice with both of them, I parlayed both of their strikeout props together and got myself +175 on that. So Chris Paddock's coming in here. He's been struggling on the road, high ERA, but versus the White Sox, I do think he can get those strikeouts. His number's coming in at 3.5, -142 to the over. And when we look at Chris Flexen here, Chris Flexen, you know, 5.25 ERA, his last three, that ERA has dropped to 4.06. He has the ability to go over 3.5 strikeouts, over 3.5 strikeouts coming in at -152. So not the juice I want to lay, but when you parlay them together, like I said, that coming in at +175. I do expect both of these pitchers, while they will get enough strikeouts, I think that this leads me to a higher scoring game still in this one, Kevin. It's funny when you look at these pitchers and how solid they could be. You know, they go into the fifth inning, they get these strikeouts on the board, and I do think we still see those runs coming in.
Yeah, listen, I'm always actually a really big proponent of the strikeout props. They typically can land narrowly, you know, and I know you're going to take them for the 3.5. If you took each guy for 3, you're around -200. If you could find someone else on this slate worth your time, I don't think that's a bad idea at all. What about the Rangers, Joe? They're going to host the Los Angeles, on the road to the Los Angeles Angels in a battle with the AL West.
This is an interesting one. John Gray coming out here. He's been absolutely rocked in his last couple of starts, allowing 11 runs and 16 hits over 9 innings of work. He needs that bounce back here, and I do think we'll see it. Versus the LA Angels, when we look at him in his career versus the Angels, he's got a strong ERA of a 3.06 in 32 1/3 innings pitch. And I do think John Gray can come out here and have a lower scoring game. Now we're going to look at Davis Daniels to be able to do the same. He's got a solid ERA though, 2.70 ERA. We look at him at home, phenomenally strong, not seeing a lot of runs coming in this one today. And I know Texas just they're rolling. They're being able to, in that last game at home, get that offense clicking, but I just don't see it happening in this one again today. So give me the under 8.5 at -102. I was playing around with John Gray's outs in this one, 15.5 at -108. I do think he can go deep enough into this, and his strikeout prop, that's at 4.5. It's at -142 to the over. I'm kind of cautious of this. Even though the LA Angels strike out a lot, Kevin, this number, I expected it to be a 5.5. They're giving us a 4.5. I think you got to stay off it. You take his outs before his strikeouts in this one.
All right, so we got to be a little cautious there in the approach with that game. The last one on the baseball board, Joe, is Atlanta and Arizona. This was supposed to be Chris Sale, which messed up some action for me. I think it did for you as well. What's the adjustment then?
It absolutely did. With Chris Sale coming out, I was looking for the Nerfy. I was looking for the Diamondbacks team total under 2.5. And then I was also looking at Chris Sale for his outs. With Bryce Elder coming out here, he's so inconsistent. You never know how many runs he's going to give up any given day. And I do think the Diamondbacks will be able to hit off of him. So instead of looking at their team total under 2.5, that number is fired all the way up to 4.5 on Bryce Elder here. And I do think the Diamondbacks will get 5 runs in this game. The over 4.5 coming in at +110. This is a team that's averaging 4.86 runs per game on the season. And they have Diaz coming out here. Now, I do like what we saw out of this rookie, Diaz. So far in the AAA, he's been able to get those strikeouts on the board. He's been strong, and I think he can come out strong here versus the Atlanta Braves. I'm going to stay off any of his props, though, Kevin, because we just want to see how he comes out. The Diamondbacks, though, Bryce Elder, he's fade-worthy for me.
All right, fading a little late night there. Joe, we appreciate it. As always, best of luck with the action here on a Monday. We'll take a look at the Summer League slate coming up next right here. It's Game Time Decisions on SportsGrid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back with you right here on Sports Grid Game Time Decisions. We do have some NBA Summer League tonight snuck by me. Can you believe that? Bad job out of me. We're in Utah. I was looking for the California Classic. Now, quickly on the California Classic, the focus for a lot of people initially was the Bronny debut, which we talked about over the weekend. It obviously did not go well. He didn't end up playing, though, yesterday. It has been a bit funny to watch the amount of people who can't. I don't care about Bronny, but by the way, hear all my bad opinions on the topic. Dalton Connect shot 6 for 25 in two games. Far more concerning for the Lakers that the 17th overall pick, who is supposed to go well inside the top 10, was 6 for 25. But it's also Summer League, and Wemby's debut, he went 2 for 13. So it's all good. It is. Bronny is supposed to play, I believe, tomorrow. We'll see if that ultimately holds true. But tonight, you get Philadelphia and OKC. You get Utah and Memphis. Firstly, on Philly-OKC, it's the Jared McCain debut. And we are very much at a point now where we do get props on Summer League, which is great. And McCain is one of the kind of focal points here. Another is Dylan Jones, the Weber State prospect who ultimately landed with Oklahoma City. There's a number on McCain, though, that I thought was worth it, and it's over on DraftKings. It's for 4-plus assists, plus 250. I think that that is a worthwhile bet. If you kind of look at the roster Philly's throwing out there tonight, he should get a number of lead guard reps. He's starting at the point here. He didn't average a ton of assists while he was at Duke, but he had plenty of four-assist games. And again, I just think plus 250 is a good enough number to get into the mix. As far as this second game goes, the Grizzlies and Jazz are throwing out guys that, to some degree, are a bit surprising to see here. But it's also, that's because the reps that they're allowed to get while playing on teams that were so bad. Right? So G.G. Jackson, for example, who is, by the way, going to be as young as anyone on the court tonight, but is minus 260 to score 20. Which is outrageous, but it speaks to what we saw from GG last year with the Grizzlies. But again, who is betting him to score 25? I'm not saying he can't, but he does not need to. The game does not, in reality, matter. So you don't necessarily know about the minutes. Zach Edey plays tonight. For 20 points, you can get plus 630. It's a bit tempting, but again, what do the Zach Edey minutes look like? That's a really big question here. With his size and his ability to rebound, you would anticipate that Zach Edey can generate baskets even if he's not generating a lot of touches. I am interested, though, is does Walker Kessler play a ton, who is out here for the Utah Jazz, a 7-foot legitimate rim-protecting player, and is he going to make life a little bit more difficult on Zach Edey? But also, how much is Walker Kessler going to play? The Jazz apparently have him in trade talks. Or is he here to drum up interest? Or also, are you supposed to use Summer League to drum up interest? It's a little confusing. And that doesn't even kind of get to all of it. Keontae George is out here. Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh, who were all top picks for this team last year. We've got Isaiah Collier making the debut. No props on Isaiah Collier because of how many other players are out there? There is a Cody Williams 10-plus points at around 2-1. The Jazz are so loaded with legitimate starters from last year's team out here that you have no clue what these minutes are going to look like. you could justifiably lay the 5.5. But again, you don't know what the minutes are going to look like. I'm super high on Isaiah Collier, but you'd rather Keyonte George in terms of covering this number out there on Isaiah. But if you're the Jazz, do you really need Keyonte George out there more than Isaiah? I think it's going to be a really fun game to watch. The carryover, though, I would be cautious on. Because even if Keyonte tonight plays 28 minutes, 25 minutes, tomorrow he might play next to nothing. So, again, I would be very cautious there, but I did take a piece of Jared McCain, plus 250 for 4-plus assists. Great opportunity coming up here, Game Time Decisions. We're going to talk to Newswire's Craig Mish around all things Major League Baseball next.